Hello again. One of the most influential books of the 20th century was the work by Thomas Kuhn titled The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. Published in 1962, Kuhn's work was a major work not only for the philosophy of science, but other disciplines such as psychology and theology. Why? Well, one of the major reasons was the introduction of the concept of paradigm and paradigm shift. For example, Jesuit Father Avery Dulles wrote a classic work in the 1970s titled Models of the Church, which are really paradigms of the church, paradigms of understanding, models of Jesus. I was reminded of such models and the sense of paradigm and paradigm shift when I read today's gospel about the Syrophoenician woman. First of all, what is a paradigm? Kuhn defined a paradigm as a set of accepted theories, methods, and assumptions that form the framework for scientific research within a particular field. Paradigms provide scientists with the foundation to approach problems and guide their research. You might say that Jesus' approach to the Syrophoenician woman moved from the Jewish paradigm to something more, something such as serving the Gentile, going out forward. Hence, a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift, according to Kuhn, occurs when the existing paradigm can no longer account for new observations and discoveries adequately. Scientists must then adopt a new paradigm, which redefines the fundamental questions, methods, and assumptions of the field. Might Jesus have done this when he encountered the Syrophoenician woman? Might Jesus have been asked by this woman's plea to bring forth a new paradigm? Let us set the scene for this desperate mother's cry. In the region of Tyre and Sidon, a woman from the Syrophoenician descent approached Jesus, crying out for help. Her daughter was tormented by an unclean spirit, and as a mother, her desperation knew no bounds. This brave woman, though not of Jewish descent, sought the mercy of the Jewish Messiah. In effect, she was crying out to Jesus for a new paradigm, a paradigm shift, so that we'd embrace all people. This encounter immediately challenges us to see beyond boundaries, prejudices, and social norms. The woman, despite not being part of Jesus' immediate community, recognized him as a source of hope and healing. Her faith becomes a model for us, a new paradigm for us, urging us to embrace the Lord regardless of our background or status. Such was the life of the saint whom we honor today, Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Namely, her original name was Edith Stein. Edith Stein was born into an Orthodox Jewish community in Breslau, Germany. As a teenager, she rejected her family's faith and declared herself an atheist. A brilliant scholar, she completed a doctorate in philosophy at the age of 23 and worked with the father of phenomenology, Edmund Husserl, and was exposed to other great German thinkers of the time. Increasingly, however, Edith Stein's studies prompting a growing interest in religion. In 1921, after reading the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, she decided to become a Catholic. Though her conversion was a bitter blow to her mother, Stein felt that in accepting Jesus Christ, she had been reunited by a mysterious path with her Jewish roots. Many years later, as she entered the Carmelite convent, she took the name St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross and proceeded to write many volumes on philosophy and mystical theology. But the convent was no protection from the rising tide of Nazi persecution against the Jews, and her community arranged her transfer to the presumed safety of a convent in Holland. Notice that though Stein had converted to be a Catholic nun, she nevertheless was susceptible to the German persecution of Jews. And so she was required to wear the yellow Star of David on her habit. In 1962, all Jewish Catholics, including members of religious orders, were arrested and deported. "Come, Rosa," she said to her sister, who had joined her. "We're going for our people." So Edith Stein died, if you will, a martyr in Auschwitz on August 9, 1942. And if you will, here's an example of a Jewish woman becoming Catholic and yet dying as a Jew. If you will, she embraced both paradigms, the paradigm of being a Jew and being a follower of Christ. Might this also open our hearts and minds to all Jewish and believers and all men and women of goodwill? Might we, like Jesus, be challenged to embrace a new paradigm for our times, for all people, to love, to have that love that the Syrophoenician woman asked of Jesus, and Jesus embraced her and certainly embraced Edith Stein, the great martyr whom we honor today. May she guide our paths in our world of the 21st century, indeed a woman of the new paradigm.